Tonight, Luke chapter number one. If you would, I'd like to try to finish up what I started. I don't think I'll be very long. It's one of those, and I used to do this all the time. I'd have 3 points and I'd preach an hour on 1 point and 10 minutes on the other two. Maybe I still do that. I don't know. But that's just how it is. That's kind of how, however you're burdened, that's how you have to preach. That's the way I feel about it anyways. And so I want to go back and look at these lessons from the life of Mary. As you begin to look at the birth of Christ, you see several characters, and we see a young handmaiden that God chose to use. And really there wasn't outwardly not a lot of things about her life that when you measure by man's yardstick that she would appear to be much. But God saw something in her that made her a usable vessel. And it's the burden on my heart and has been. It always has been. I've always have a desire to be used and to see our church used for the glory of God. And really that's all that matters, church, when this thing's said and done, is that he gets the glory and honor. And I believe it's old John that said this, he must increase and I must decrease. And that's how it has to be. It's about him and not about us. And if we can do anything that will honor and glorify and exalt and build him up, that's what it's about. Let me pray real quick. That's just my manner. I just always like to pray before I look in the Word of God. And if you would, please pray for me as well. Father, in Jesus' name, I come to you this evening, and you know where my heart's at. You know the burden that I carry. And Father, you know what I think you've put on my heart to preach to this little group of people, your people. And Father, you told me to feed the sheep, and that's what I want to do, Lord. And I ask you to help me to do that. But I know this, if the Holy Ghost doesn't do the work, it's not going to get done. And so I ask you to speak to hearts tonight. If there's anything would hinder the Holy Spirit, remove it out of the way. If there's anything that would keep us from glorifying you, move that out of the way. And Father, we'll thank you and praise you for all you do. Help me now. Give me clarity of thought and speech. Help me, Father, to be clear and precise. And Father, I ask you if you would to get all the glory and help your people tonight. Allow me to say something, or you say something through me that would help your people. And we'll praise you for what you do. In Jesus' name we do pray. Amen and amen. Well, we talked this morning about this thing of not being influenced by her surroundings or the people around her, the ungodliness that was around her. And ultimately where we were headed with that is this thing of holiness. We spent the whole, I just kept, I know some of you wanted me to go on and get off that point, but I couldn't. I just could not do that. And we kept hammering on that truth. And I want to say this to you tonight. It takes holy people to carry out the work of the Lord. And there's no shortcut. There's no way to get around that. There's nothing we can do to bypass that. God expects you and I to be holy. And Mary was. She was a pure, holy individual. And God used her. And so we kind of touched on that. But I want to go to verse number 34. I believe it's verse 34. And I'm going to back up and read just a little bit, and I'm going to try to bring you just a couple of, at least a couple of more out of the four or five more that I have here. And the Bible says this, that when Gabriel came to her, Gabriel being the angel, the messenger angel, if you agreed with what I said this morning, verse 28, let's start reading there, and let me just share with you a few little thoughts, and we'll be done tonight. Verse 28, and the angel came in unto her and said, Hail, thou that art highly favored of the Lord, let me read that again. And the angel came in unto her and said, Hail, thou that art highly favored, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women. And when she saw him, she was troubled at his saying, and cast in her mind what manner of salutation this should be. And the angel said unto her, Fear not, Mary, for thou hast found favor with God. And behold, thou shalt conceive in thy womb, and bring forth a son, and shalt call his name Jesus. And you really, I guess if I was preaching the true spirit of Christmas, I would focus in on these verses, and I may before the season is over. But here, let me read verse 31 again. I interrupted my reading. And behold, thou shalt conceive in thy womb and bring forth a son and shalt call his name Jesus. He shall be great and shall be called the Son of the Highest. And the Lord God shall give unto him the throne of his father David. And he shall reign over the house of Jacob forever. And of his kingdom there shall be no end. Let me just stop and say that's a prophecy that has not been fulfilled, but it will be. It will be. Just as sure as I'm standing here, he's going to rule and reign over the house of Jacob forever. Amen. Amen. Verse 34. Then said Mary unto the angel, How shall this be, seeing I know not a man? And the angel answered and said unto her, The Holy Ghost shall come upon thee, and the power of the highest shall overshadow thee. Therefore also that holy thing which shall be born of thee shall be called the Son of God. And behold, thy cousin Elizabeth, she hath also conceived a son in her old age, and this is the sixth month with her, who was called barren. For with God nothing shall be impossible. Those of you who are facing impossible odds in your life, you ought to get that verse down, just memorize that. For with God nothing shall be impossible. I've seen a lot of impossible cases that God made possible. Just in my little short life, I've seen men that I said this, there's no way they're ever going to be saved, and God saved them. That's a fact. And so it is with God, nothing shall be impossible. Now we know that's talking about within his character. God cannot lie. God cannot commit sin. We know that's an impossibility. But within his character, there's nothing that God cannot do. There's nothing he cannot do. But where I really want to focus in for just a few minutes and then go on to a few other points is verse number 34. Then said Mary unto the angel, How shall this be, seeing I know not a man? In other words, I think what Mary is saying here to the angel, I really don't fully understand what you want out of my life. And can you expound on it just a little more? How shall this be, seeing I know not a man? She desires to know exactly what God wants with her life. That's her desire. And she does know he said some things to her, but she still has some confusion. There's still some things she doesn't understand. And so she pursues She pursues the angel on this and says to him, how shall this be, seeing I know not a man? Now, you may think I'm stretching the scriptures a little bit when I say this, but I see here that Mary is seeking clarification on God's message. She wants to know the particulars of God's word for her life. Can you see that in the text? She's not just satisfied with what's been told because she can't understand how it's going to be. And so she says to him, how? Talk to me more. Explain to me exactly what's going to be. And as I begin to think about this and her being a vessel that God could use, I thought about this. If we're going to be what we ought to be, we have to have a thorough understanding of the Word of God. We have to have that. I'm afraid what's missing today in churches is a lack of understanding the truths of the Word of God. Now, as I look across this land and I hear people talk about this preacher being a great preacher or that preacher being a great preacher, when I listen to many of those so-called great preachers, they do not preach the truths of the Word of God. They'll say a few things about the Bible, but then they'll tell a story. And you know, that's one of these things I rather harp on this. I guess I do. Preaching is not storytelling. Preaching is not telling jokes. Preaching is not entertaining your flesh. Preaching is preaching or declaring what thus saith the Word of God. And I want to tell you, I said it in Sunday school, and I want to say it again tonight. What will help your life is not me giving you my advice, not me entertaining you and making you laugh, not me giving you a good story, but what's going to help your life and your children and your grandchildren is the pure, unadulterated, declared Word of God. That's where the help is at. And here's Mary, and she gets the Word of God, but in essence what she's saying is, I don't understand it. Would you explain to me a little more, in a little more detail? Tell me what God's message is for my life. And can I just stop and try to slow up and be a little more calm with you this evening and just say to you, what we need to know and what we need to have a firm grasp on as God's children is what thus saith the Word of God for our life. Now, I want to just stop there. I want that to soak in with you this evening. We need to know what thus saith the Word of God. If you're going to be used by God, you have to know the Word of God. I think about Jesus in the wilderness, when Satan came to him. All of you know that text. And Satan would tempt Jesus. What would Jesus say? You know, I don't even have to preach it to you. But here's what he would say. It is written. It is written. You know what he's using to escape the temptations, to conquer, to overcome the temptations the devil's throwing at him? The Word of God. And can I tell you, I think that's why the devil wants to change the Word of God. Amen. By the way, they say these new versions are really just makes it easier to read. But I'm going to tell you, things that are different are not the same. They're just not the same. And really, if you take, and I've got a little study on it, and if you take and make a comparison of those texts that they have, those verses that they have changed, you'll find out that they're not the same. They're not the same. They've changed it around. You know why the devil wants to change the Bible around, water it down? He wants us not to have a sword, but to have a little plastic toy, something that we cannot use against him. There's power in the Word of God. And if you're going to be used, you're going to have to understand the Word of God. You have to have a grasp on it.
We have to place an emphasis on it in this church. If these young people are going to amount to anything, they have to have the Word of God in their life. And my, if you're an adult and the rest of your life's going to mean anything for God, you're going to have the Word of God in your life. Mary says this, I don't understand it, but can you tell me how this is going to be? I need some explanation on the message God sent to me. By the way, this is His message to us. Amen. That's how it is. And so, let me give you a few scriptures. Here's what Paul said to young Timothy. And I'm just preaching to the choir tonight. I know that. But here's what he says. Study to show thyself approved unto God. Study to show. You want to be approved by God? Here's how you do it. Study the Word of God. Isn't that what it says? Study. Let me read it to you again. Maybe it'll study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman. That's why a lot of people do not study. It's not so much a lack of, and I understand everybody's got a measure of faith. Not everybody's going to understand the Bible like others do. I understand all that. But I'll tell you why a lot of people do not study the Word of God. It's work. It's work. Study to show thyself approved unto God. Paul talking to young Timothy. Study to show thyself approved unto God. A workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. Let me just stop and say this. Be sure whoever you're listening to is rightly dividing the word of truth. You can take the word of God and prove anything with it. You take it out of context and you make it mean whatever you want it to mean. But be sure it's rightly divided. And so the only way we can do that is to study. Now, what I'm saying to you, I'm talking about being used by God. Here's Mary, a little vessel that you would have thought God can't use her. She has no credentials. She's not qualified. And we went through all the things that she wasn't. She wasn't royalty. She wasn't intellect. She wasn't wealthy. All those things we began to talk about this morning. And had we looked at her, we would have said this. She can't be used by God. But that's who God wanted. Because there's some things in her character, in her life that she had that was necessary if we're going to be used by God. And one of them is this desire or this seeking of understanding or clarification of God's word to her life. And so Paul tells Timothy, study, show thyself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. If we were to back up in 1 Timothy and look at what 1 Timothy says, it says this, till I come, give attendance to reading. To exhortation, here it is, to doctrine. To doctrine. All doctrine is truths of the Word of God. Here's what people, I've heard people say this about other preachers. I hope nobody's ever said it about me, that they don't, they say they don't preach doctrine. They don't preach doctrine because doctrine divides. All doctrine is biblical truth declared from the Word of God. You can't preach the Word of God without preaching doctrine. It's on every page. It's what the Word of God teaches. That's all doctrine is. It's not some kind of creed or some kind of a code that the church has put together. No, it's the truth of the Word of God. And the Bible says, Paul said to young Timothy, under inspiration of the Holy Ghost, it's been preserved for you and I to read and to give attendance to doctrine. Doctrine. The truth of the Word of God. How are you going to serve God without the truth of the Word of God? I've been caught up, and well, I don't need to go there. We see Paul teaching young Timothy. Well, how does it work? Listen what Isaiah said in chapter 23. Whom shall he teach knowledge? He asked a question. Whom shall he teach knowledge? And whom shall he make to understand doctrine? Them that are weaned from the milk and drawn from the breast. Now here's how it happens. Here's how it works. For precept must be upon precept. Precept upon precept. Line upon line. Line upon line. Here a little and there a little. Can I tell you how you're going to learn the truths of the Word of God? Just a line at a time. A precept at a time. That's how you do it. You will not grasp truth overnight. This book is a lifetime book. One fella said this. He was talking about a fella who came up to him, and he had been preaching 40 or 50 years, and this old preacher come up to him, and he said, "I wished I had your Bible knowledge. I wished I could get your something, your Bible knowledge." And they'd both been in the way a long time, and the old preacher looked at this other preacher, and he said, "You've waited 40 years too late to start." Can I tell you, you have to get in the book. There's no substitute for the Word of God. There's none. And it's line upon line. I love to hear messages where a text is taken and it just goes down that text picking out truths from the Word of God. I love that. That's line upon line and precept upon precept. I truly think that is the perfection of the art of preaching. I believe that. And so here's what I want to say as my third point as we've looked at Mary. First of all, she was separated, didn't allow the evil surroundings to affect her. She refused their influence in her life, and she refused to allow sin. I said it this way, and I just saw it, and it kind of made me, it bumped me there for, slowed me up just a little bit. She refused to allow sin to reign in her life. Was Mary sinless? No. No. Mary was not a sinless individual, but she did not allow sin to reign in her life. She dealt with it. When sin came in her life, she confessed it. She dealt with it, got it out of her life. But now we see she wants to know. She wants to know exactly what the Word of God is speaking to her about. She wants to know. She's not satisfied to have a general idea. She wants the specifics. And my, I think if we're going to serve God, we have to get into the depths and the details of the Word of God. I believe that. Preachers, I believe your preaching will be as powerful as you are spiritual or in depth in the Word of God. Now, I didn't say that right, but understand what I mean by that. And so Mary sought understanding of God's message for her life. And then I want to say this about Mary. She yielded her plans to God's plans. You know what Mary's goal was in life? To marry and have a family. She was a spouse to Joseph. Now that's nothing more than a high-powered, what do we call it today? Engagement. That's a high-powered engagement. Now back they say, and I don't know a lot about all the Jewish customs and all that thing, but they said in that time, the Jewish folks looked at that as if it was a marriage. If someone, as if they were already married, this betrothal or spousal period, it was a binding relationship. And so here was Mary, she was a spouse, she'd already made plans. I mean, she had this thing set in motion. Excuse me. She had this thing set in motion. She'd already picked her husband out. She knew who it was. She probably knew where they was going to live. She probably knew a lot of facts. She probably had sat and thought, like I've heard some of these little girls say, young girls say, it's the right way, young girls say around here, "When I get married, I want to have 4 children. I want to have 6 children. I want to have 3 boys and 3. I guess Mary had all that figured out. I guess she had some plans for her life. And we know she had plans to be married. And no doubt had plans, knowing she her to be a godly individual, plans to be a mother and to be a good wife. But all of a sudden, God shows up and he says to Mary, I want you to kind of put your plans on hold for just a little bit because I've got a plan for your life. And can I say it again? God has a plan for all of our lives. All of our lives he has a plan for. And it may be like Mary that God works his plan in to Mary's plan and allows her to carry out what her... She eventually did marry Joseph. She eventually did have other children. And God just kind of worked his plan into her plan, but it doesn't always work that way. Sometimes God's plan upsets your plan. Sometimes God has a plan that's totally different than what you want for your life. And you may have a godly plan, but God may have other plans. Now here, if you want to be used by God, when God deals with your heart, you need to allow his plan to take precedence over your plan. That has to be. And by the way, his plan will never go contrary to the word of God. He'll never go contrary to the word of God. Don't ever think God's telling you to divorce your spouse or any of a multitude of things I could mention. Now, he might be telling you to separate. I'm on dangerous grounds, but I'm going to go ahead and say this. I don't think you ought to endanger your life. I don't. If you send your loved one to me, and they're being beaten or they're being their life is at stake, I'm going to tell them that the Bible teaches they can separate but not divorce. Now, I understand that's real touchy grounds there. Let me just go ahead and say this. Some of the best people I know on planet Earth have been victims of divorce. That doesn't make anybody a second-class citizen. Amen. I'm telling it right tonight. But I'm just saying this. God has a plan for your life. And his plan is always superior to your plan. Amen. It's always superior to your plan. And so Mary yielded. Let me not get hung up there, but Mary yielded her life, her plans to his plans. And then I want you to notice Mary. This is the odd. It used to be the oddest thing to me as I looked in the scriptures. It used to be the oddest thing. She runs up to Elizabeth's house. Her cousin Elizabeth, who's much older, she's past the childbearing years. And why would she run up there? They've got the age difference. She's a country girl and Mary lives in Nazareth. I used to wrestle around with those truths so many times. But here's what I think. I think Elizabeth was going through something very similar to what Mary was going through. Elizabeth experienced a supernatural conception different from Mary but similar to Mary's. Here's what I think. I think Mary knew this. Elizabeth is a godly woman and she'll have godly counsel. She's in the same boat I'm in. If I can get up there to Elizabeth, I can get some good help from her that will help me in this time of my life. I think she was looking for godly counsel. And can I say who can help you the most is somebody that's been through what you've been through. Isn't that right? They've been there. Here's what my dad used to say to me. He'd say to me, son, you hadn't been there yet. Wait till you've been there, and then you talk about what you'll do and what you won't do. Isn't that right? Have you ever just said, well, if that was me, I'd do it this way, and then it is you, and you do it just a different way than what you said you'd do it? Well, that's how I've been. I mean, I said, well, if that's me, I'd go this route, and I'd do this, and I'd do that. And then I find myself in the same boat, and I do just like the one I was condemning. Because now I'm walking in the same shoes. And I'll say to you, you really don't know what you'll do till you're walking in those shoes. And that's why people who have been through the experience you're going through, and I think that's why Mary came to Elizabeth. Now, I understand she's just 6 months ahead of Mary. But the fact of the matter, she's experienced a touch of God with a supernatural conception, and Mary's experiencing the same thing. And she said, I'm going up there to that godly woman and see what she can tell me. Now, really, it makes sense when you look at it like that. I never had put that together before. I just always wonder why this young girl wanted to run up there to the hill country, maybe to get away, maybe to hide out for a little bit, is what I was thinking. But she was seeking some companionship and some counsel to help her through what she was getting ready to face. And there's nothing wrong with godly counsel. That doesn't make you unlearned and ignorant. That makes you wise to seek godly counsel. It's wise to say, hey, what? Tell me about this. It's wise to do that. That doesn't mean you're inferior to the one you're speaking with. Not at all. You know what Proverbs say? You know, because I preached it to you. Unless you forgot it. And if you have, I'm going to tell you again. There's safety in a multitude of counselors. Now, that's inferring God. The implication is godly counsel. There's safety in a multitude of counselors. You can find safety in godly counsel. That's exactly right. And that's why Mary, and if you're going to do anything for God, you need to get you some godly counsel you can go to help you when those odd times come in your life. And they will come. And so here's Mary. Here's Mary. And so she's not too haughty or too proud. I'm going to get on humility here in just a minute. She's not too haughty or too proud to seek help. And here's what the Bible says in Proverbs 27:17. It says, iron sharpeneth iron. I ain't going to go there, but iron sharpeneth iron, so a man sharpeneth the countenance of his friends. You know how you'll improve yourself spiritually? Get around somebody more spiritual or as spiritual as you are. They'll help you. That's right. Here's what Proverbs 13:20 says. He that walketh with wise men shall be wise, but a companion of fools shall be destroyed. Now, that's the Bible. He that walketh with wise men shall be wise. I told you this morning who you run with is who you'll be. And the Bible just said, he that walketh with wise men shall be wise. And it says, but a companion of fools shall be destroyed. I'll tell you, if you want to be used of God, get you some good wise men, listen to their counsel, and stay with them. Amen. There's something to be said for these old heads that's been around a while. They have been there. They're not like my dad said about me. Son, you just ain't been there yet. They have been there, and they can help you. They can give you some advice that'll help you along, don't you see? And that's what Mary was after. And I think Elizabeth did help her. And maybe she helped Elizabeth. But I want to look in verse 48 of this chapter as well. I want to go on. So we see if we're going to be used of God, we're going to have to seek godly counsel. And then we see in verse 48 that Mary possessed a humble spirit. For he hath regarded the low estate of his handmaiden. For behold, from henceforth all generations shall call me blessed. Mary, I want to speak to you just a little bit
And really, this kind of spoke to me, this point did. We live in a proud world. We're such proud people. Brother Harrison, I believe Brother Hill, let me get it right. Brother Hill maybe said this in the prayer room. We're too afraid we're going to embarrass our flesh, humiliate our flesh. And so we won't worship. We won't turn loose. We won't obey the Holy Spirit. We're afraid we'll mess up. And what that really is pride in our life. And God hates pride. I believe there's a lot of people in hell because of pride in their life. Too proud to humble themselves before the Lord. You may be here. Don't let pride send you to hell. Don't let pride. Why, what would they think if I come up there and ask the Lord to save me? What would they say? What would people think about me? My, that'd be so embarrassing. There's a lot of people in hell but with that kind of attitude. They had that kind of attitude. And don't let pride keep you from serving. And Brother Hill, if you'll just allow me to elaborate on what you said. He said Jesus hung on the cross virtually naked for you and I. He was humiliated for you. That's right. He suffered shame and mockery. They hit him over the head. They hit him over the head with a reed. They put that crown. They mocked his kingship by putting a crown of thorns on him. What humiliation to the Son of God. He did that for you. Why can't we suffer a little humiliation for him? I'm afraid we're too proud. We need to humble ourselves down. Here's what the Bible says that you already know. Whosoever shall exalt himself shall be abased, and he that shall humble himself shall be exalted. James 4:6, but he giveth more grace. Wherefore he saith, God resisteth the proud, but giveth grace unto the humble. Humble yourselves in the sight of the Lord, and he shall lift you up. Do I need to go on? I can go on. 1 Peter 5:6, humble yourselves therefore under the mighty hand of God that he may exalt you in due time. John says this in 1 John 2:16, for all that's in the world, the lust of the flesh and the lust of the eyes, and listen, and the pride of life is not of the Father, but is of the world. My 2 Chronicles 7:14 just starts out, if my people which are called by my name shall humble themselves. I suspect, and I know in my life I fight pride. Why don't we just be honest and just say we're a proud people and we fight pride and we fight just humbling ourselves to the Lord and admitting what we are, who we are, and how little we are. Can I just tell you this, and you may not think I know it, we're pitiful.
Yes, sir.
We're all just pitiful.
Yes, sir.
Your preacher's just pitiful. We're nothing outside the Lord.
Amen.
You know, in my flesh, I probably shouldn't tell you this. I sit right there on that front pew with the service going on, and some of the most ungodly thoughts pass through my mind. Preacher, you shouldn't say that. Why not be honest? Why don't we just be honest with each other and admit what we are? What's went through your mind while we've been sitting here? We're proud people. If we're going to be used by God, we're going to have to humble ourselves down. That's just how it is. And she did. She did. The lowest state of his handmaiden, just a little servant girl, basically what she's saying. But if you look at verses 46 through that, can I say too, her focus was not so much on her as it was on him. I'm not going to spend a lot of time on that, but notice just verse 48. Let's go there again. For he hath regarded the Lord stayed of his handmaiden. Verse 49, for he that is mighty hath done to me great things. Verse 50, and his mercy. Verse 51, he. Can I tell you what this thing's all about? Him. It's about him. My, she was focused on him. And the only way we're going to victoriously serve him is get our minds off us and stay focused on him, don't you see? That's what she did. Here's what I'm talking about tonight. I hope you haven't forgot the theme of where we're at. We're talking about being used by the Lord. In my soul, there's a great desire that God use me for his glory. And these are some of the things that we have to do. I could talk about her inward happiness. I could talk about she was happy. I mean, I look at verse 46 down through 50, and I see somebody who's happy in their soul. We could talk about her willingness to be inconvenienced. I mean, she was great with child and went to be taxed. Most women would say, no way, I'm too far along to make that journey. You figure something out, husband. Not Mary. She was willing to be inconvenienced. Her schedule was thrown off. She didn't know what was going to happen while she was gone. Hopefully, I guess she hoped to get back and have the baby at home or in however they did back then. But it didn't work out that way. She's willing to be inconvenienced. And what about us? Do we really want to be used? Here we are, we're wrapping up. If we live, God blesses us to live another 2 or 3 weeks, we'll be in a new year. And we always, in our mind, we think that's a new beginning. Fact of the matter, every day should be a new beginning for us. Every hour, I guess, as far as that goes. But here's what I want to ask you. Are we kidding ourselves when we say we won't be used? Are we positioning ourselves so God can use us? Are we clothing ourselves in humility? Are we willing to be inconvenienced? Do we seek godly counsel? I could go through all those little points I've made. Here we are, church, just a handful of us. Really just a handful. We wouldn't even qualify as a small church, I don't guess. But God can use us. He used little Mary. And if we'll meet, if we'll just humble ourselves and deal with sin in our life and all them things. I don't want to say them again. All those things. If we'll just do those things, God will use us. You know why I know that? Because the laborers are, tell me, few. He's looking for laborers. He needs laborers. He needs folks to work. And the sad thing, we're not in a position to be used as a laborer. It's sad. Do you want to be used? Let's bow our heads this evening. That's my message to you. I pray maybe God may have spoke to your heart and your life. I know he has mine. I want to be used. I want my life to count. Really, that's all that matters to me at my age, for my life to count for him. While